today on the Daily Gator Daily Thought, four topics. One is a gun control group and what really scares gun control advocates. Not my take, someone else's. You're going to enjoy it. The Cowboys quarterback, Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Dak Prescott, is in mucho hot water because he says it's, well, inappropriate to protest during the national anthem because it ruins the game for a lot of fans and players both. Then we've got the New York Times being, well, pretty slimy, defending a racist, and one surprise topic. And you'll be surprised. Stay with us. Welcome once again to the Daily Gator Daily Thought. I'm Doug Hagan. Let's get right to it. Let's go to Bearing Arms, a great site for those of us who interest in firearm news, self-defense stories, common sense defense of the right to keep and bear arms. Tom Knighton sums up pretty much perfectly what really scares what I call the cult of gun control. And if you wonder why I call them the cult of gun control, you haven't heard me talk about this before. Maybe it's the first time you're listening to one of these, and where the hell have you been? But if you never heard me explain it before, listen to gun control advocates talk. Listen to their talking points. Repeated, repeated, repeated. They sound like a cult. And like many cult members, they're not really well informed. And it's more about emotion and fear and talking points being regurgitated than facts. Tom Knighton sums it up. A story out of Denver. There's a Colorado anti-gun student group has pulled out from an anti-gun rally due to alleged death threats. Now, I don't know if the death threats happen or not. Sorry, I don't mean to be hesitant to believe the truthfulness of anti-gun groups, but they've lied before about such things, or they've simply exaggerated things, blown them out of proportions. But some of them are still going to hold the anti-gun rally. So if you want to go observe the cult of gun control in person, you live in the Denver area, please feel free. But Tom Knighton sums up that they're always talking about being in fear. Fear, fear, fear. What do they really fear? Knighton writes, anti-gunners are terrified. They're terrified that someone has a gun and they have no say over what they do with it. They're terrified that someone has a tool that scares them and they were able to get it without begging permission from whoever. The entire anti-gun position is one created by fear. So saying you won't be bullied by fear is kind of like someone stuffing their face with a pie and claiming they won't be bullied by hunger. He's right. It is about fear. Fear and the want of control, and what they really fear is they won't be able to have control over you. Sums up leftism perfectly. And really no more to add to that. Well said, Tom Knighton. Very good job. Let's go to Dak Prescott. If you don't know who Dak Prescott is, he is the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. A fourth round selection a couple years ago, had a phenomenal rookie season, had a pretty good year last year. I think he's going to be a long time starter in the NFL and be a quality one. But he spoke out on the anthem protests, which ravaged the NFL, hurt them very badly in ratings and revenue last year, hurt them in attendance, and it will hurt them even worse this year if they don't get a handle on it. Of course, the NFL made a policy, excuse me, that said basically you can protest, but if you're going to protest, you have to stay in the locker room. If you're going to be out in the field during national anthem, you will stand respectfully. No kneeling. And of course, some people whine and complain about it. And the NFL, being the gutless, clueless entity it is, because they're run by a gutless, clueless fool, Roger Goodell, of course, backed off. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, and his son Steven both came out and said, "Hey, if you can't stand for the anthem, you don't play for the Cowboys." Of course, he's being called a racist and compared to a slave owner or something, because the left has no limit on their hyperbole and their hateful, ignorant, spiteful, divisive rhetoric. But this is what Dak Prescott said. To draw the ire of the social justice warriors, he basically said he doesn't, it's not going to be a question of if he takes a knee or doesn't according to any rules, because he's not going to, because he says it's disrespectful and it's inappropriate time. It's not the time or the place. That's for before the game, after the game, during the off days in the week. It's not for game time. And one of the biggest reasons he gives is because players, the joy they get out of the game, the fans, the players, that's what should matter in game time. Not protesting something. He didn't totally dismiss the social justice issues. He said there is an equality. I don't know how he defines it. I'm not going to comment on that. I don't comment on things pretending I know someone what someone thinks when I don't. So Dak Prescott basically said something very, very commonsensical, very respectful. He said, "Hey, the fans, the players, most of us don't want to see this," is what he said without saying it, without being mean-spirited about it. So he did a very good job. And, of course, Twitter exploded. A lot of racist images they painted of black people with slave masters from different movies and things like that, pretending, of course, Jerry Jones is a slave owner. And Dak Prescott's just got the slave mentality. He is the, well, he's portrayed in one, I'm not sure of the movie, it escapes me at the moment. It's Samuel L. Jackson and, what is his name, Leo DiCaprio. I can't think, was it Django Unchained, maybe is the movie. So basically they're saying that Dak Prescott is a house nigger. Yes, I said that word. It's a word. If you can't handle hearing that word used in context, not as a racial slur, not directed at anybody, that's hateful. And if you use it that way and get punched in the mouth, I want to applaud the person that punches you in the mouth, because you're an idiot. This is using it in context. If you can't handle that, go get a baby bottle and start wearing diapers again, okay? Because you're a child. Caron J. Phillips, whoever the hell he is, he's with the NFL Players Association, I believe. "This statement means nothing when Jerry Jones, who owns America's team, has drawn a line in the sand, and Dak Prescott is out here basically saying he's happy being eliminated, serving house Negro." See, a racist thing to, because Dak Prescott has a different point of view, he must pay the price. That's what dialogue and debate with the left now is. You agree with them, you toe the line every step of the way, or else. who else is there? There's this one. Dak Prescott after practice, portraying him as Daffy Duck doing a song and dance thing. In other words, he's just a minstrel. He's just another Amos and Andy. Again, I don't know what Dak Prescott feels, who he votes, how he votes. I don't care. He said something that should be applauded by both sides. And a social justice warrior side, if they really cared about coming together and people listening to them, they'd heed his advice. Because you're not going to get somebody to listen to your cause, whatever it is, no matter how worthy or, in this case, I think unworthy and based on ignorance, much of it. But they're not going to listen if you walk up and slap them in the face and continue to do so. They're not going to listen. Of course, knowing the left today, things like player protests are meant to cause division. That's how the left functions and grows. And speaking of left and division and hatefulness and childishness, Let's go to University of Georgia. There's a dean there, dean of, not history, journalism. He got in mucho trouble because he called a Republican candidate for the runoff, the Republican runoff in Georgia for who's going to be the next governor of Georgia. He called him a nice guy. Apparently they've been friends since high school. He's still considers him a friend. And he said basically in the tweet, "Politics be damned. He's a nice guy." He didn't endorse him, didn't talk about any issues, didn't talk about anything political other than saying, "Hey, politics be damned. This is the way it's supposed to be. If someone's a nice person, you can call them a nice person." It was well said, basically. But the hate mongers at Twitter exploded because UGA journalism and mass comm dean Charles Davis congratulated Georgia politician Brian Kemp on winning the state's GOP primary. Later, he deleted the remark after backlash. This is what he tweeted. Tell me how controversial this sounds to you. He wrote, "I went to high school with GOP Gov candidate Brian Kemp," Davis said. "We played YMCA ball from childhood. Politics be damned. He's a nice guy. Always was. Kind of to a fault. He's a friend, always has been, and will be when we're older and grayer. That's how this should work, people." In other words, this isn't about politics. This is about one person saying to another, "Hey, you accomplished something. You're a nice person. Congratulations." Didn't even mention any political topics. But the highly offended leftists, they broke out with buzzwords of racism and privilege to signal how butthurt they were over the tweet. One said, "You're a straight white man. Of course he was nice and kind to you. Racists are generally nice to their own kind. Why don't you say what you really mean? Politics be damned. You never vote for a black woman and would much rather vote for the white racist." To this Twitter user, how the hell do you know? You don't. You're just a hateful bigot. But what really is offensive, it's not the left attack dogs coming out. What really offends me and what should offend you the most is this. The dean came out and groveled. He apologized. For what? I mean, if you genuinely hurt someone's feelings, even if you don't mean it, I apologize. That's fine. That's part of being a good person. But he wrote, "I'd like to apologize to anyone offended by my tweet. Shout out to Brian Kemp. It was ill-timed and poorly written." How is it poorly written? Yeah, how is it ill-timed? Someone accomplishes something, you congratulate them, say they're a nice guy, end it to that. Then he really, really grovels. He continues, "I've read and learned so much from you all and will endeavor to be more thoughtful." In other words, "I will never, ever offer any type of public opinion or say anything nice about anyone that the far left doesn't agree with, lest I be pilloried and destroyed on Twitter by a bunch of hateful, narrow-minded, back-asswards bigots." That's what he meant. And maybe the university fussed at him a little bit. Said, "Hey, you need to apologize." Now, he did use... the UGA Twitter. University of Georgia Twitter, not a private account. Some people tried to make that a big deal. Like, that was the thing that was offensive. They used it to use that. But he really didn't say anything political. He just said, "Hey, he's a nice guy. I've known him a long time. He's a friend. Congratulations," basically. And, see... And made by example, we can all get along. Of course, noted idiot, local talk show host here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and alleged conservative, Chris Kroc, who has one of the most irritating, agitating voices you've ever heard in your life, he got into this, and I figure he's conservative. He's going to say exactly what I just said, not as well, of course, because he's not as talented as I am. But he went to this and said, well, he did use the UGA Twitter. And yeah, I don't think he should have done it. I think he should have pulled the tweet down and not done it, because it was, I would be offended if someone from a local university, Texas or Texas A&M or, you know, Rice or any other Texas university would have would have done something similar, but congratulated a liberal candidate for winning a primary or something, or said they're a nice person and I've known them a long time and we, you know, been very magnanimous. Again, Chris Kroc proving, if you've ever heard him, you know what I mean, proving that you can take a perfectly, perfectly reasonable position and twist it and turn it till you look like an idiot. Way to go, Chris Kroc. You've done it again. The worst conservative talk host in America. The worst, Chris Kroc. Now, one more story. The surprise. That really shouldn't surprise you. One of the bigger stories that came out last couple of days concerned the New York Slimes or Times. And, well, we know how tolerant and liberal the New York Times is, how progressive. And how they would, well, imagine if they had a columnist they just hired who was a white guy. And in their past, they had tweets that were very racist. Had said black people smelled bad, or that Japanese people were stupid, or that Mexicans were only good for making something really outrageous had been said by this person. They would have been fired so fast their head would have fallen off, and good for the New York Times for firing them if that had happened. Even if they'd been accused falsely, even if they've tweeted something it wasn't really racist, like I like Donald Trump, they'd have been fired probably by the Times. But in this case, the Times hired a reporter, an Asian woman, Sarah Jung, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. She was hired by the New York Times to be a tech writer. Okay, fine. But she's got some now deleted tweets were found, and oh, they don't play around the edge of the racism pool. There's a high dive built. It's about 50 foot deep, and she jumps right in with can openers and cannonballs and swan dives, folks. On one, she wrote, oh man, it is sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men. Another one, white people have stopped breeding. You'll all go extinct soon. This was my plan all along. Are white people genetically predisposed to burn faster in the sun, thus logically only being only fit to live underground like groveling goblins? Another tweet simply had a hashtag. Hashtag cancel white people. She also wrote she was equating Trump to Hitler before it was cool. And then she also wrote, I opened my mouth to politely greet a Republican, but nothing but an unending cascade of vomit flows from my mouth. Oh, there's an image for you. She also compared dumbass fucking white people to dogs. Well, you would think after these came out, the Times would just have to fire her. They'd have to, because, I mean, come on. But here's her statement, which they put out on Twitter. We hired Sarah Jung because of the exceptional work she has done covering the internet and technology at a range of respected publications. Her journalism and the fact that she is a young Asian woman have made her a subject of frequent online harassment. In other words, it's you racist white bastards who are dumbass fucking dogs, apparently. According to Sarah Jung's brilliance, it's your fault. She's not really a racist. No. She can't be. She's young and Asian and a woman. They excuse her behavior, her tweets, by saying for a period of time she responded to that harassment by imitating the rhetoric of her harassers. She sees now that this approach only served to feed the vitriol that we all too often see on social media. She regrets it. and at times does not condone it. They concluded by saying, "We had candid conversations with Sarah as part of our thorough vetting process, which included a review of her social media history." In other words, they knew about these before they hired her. "She understands that this type of rhetoric is not acceptable at the Times, and we are confident she will be an important voice for the editorial board moving forward." Now, if she's hired to be an internet and tech writer, why would she be on the editorial board? Unless she's giving reviews of software, etc., computers, etc., etc. So I love how they twist it and turn it. This woman writes horrifically racist things, openly racist. They not only don't fire her, don't reprimand her, they excuse it as, well, she was just making fun of racist white people. And we don't like what she wrote, but we're not going to fire her because she's young and Asian and a woman. That's really progressive, New York Times. Really, really, really mature. Jong explained herself, this came out on August 2nd, which is just one day ago. She tweeted, "Hi all, I have a statement about the tweets that have been going around. As a woman of color, I have faced torrents of online hate, often along this vein." And then she has some tweets people tweeted to her, which were nasty and no decent person would have sent. But she excuses the responses she gave by saying, "I engage in what I thought at the time was counter-trolling. It was intended as satire." Leftists, when they always get caught, it was satire. Satire. "Yes, I know I said I wished all white people would die horrible deaths, but it was satire." She continues, "I deeply regret that I mimicked the language of my harasser. See, it's someone else's fault. She's a racist." These comments were not aimed at a general audience because general audience do not engage in harassment campaigns. "I can understand how hurtful these posts are out of context and would not do it again." Well, it was satire, so it's okay. It's okay. Sarah Jung is a racist hack. But it was all in response to the fact that white people are so racist, basically. She gets some tweets that are negative, who are racist. So, of course, the natural thing to do is to viciously attack white people, compare them to dogs, and just say despicable things. And New York Times, natural response, "What? One of our writers had racist tweets in their past? Was it about, who was it about? Black people? Asian, Mexican, it's about white people? Ah, who cares? It's not her fault, it's their fault for being white." Way to go, New York Times. You're almost like a rebirth of the Klan. That's how ignorant and backward you are. That's it for me, my friends. If I've offended anybody during this podcast, too bad. Get over it. And hopefully, next time I talk to you, I'll have some more refreshing words of wisdom and wit and blah, blah, blah. And maybe local talk host Chris Kroc will have said something that's actually entertaining for a change. I'll keep you posted. Just don't like the guy. Just one of those things, his style, his voice, and his stupidity at times. Wow. It makes you wonder, how did this guy get on the radio? Seriously, how? But that's just me, maybe. Anyway, good night, good day, good morning, whenever you listen. I appreciate it. God bless you. Keep up the fight. Remember, if you are left, you just ain't right. The first rule of life, and the second always is, go Gators. College football season is so close now.